From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. It's hard to hear Daft Punk's first new album in 8 years, Random Access Memories, and not want to talk about it. This album's partly an homage to disco, partly an homage to early electronic music, partly an homage to the duo's musical heroes, and a hodgepodge of all those things. It's a fascinating and controversial record from a band known for its electronic sound, but this time, much of that sound moves to the background in favor of a talented array of studio musicians and real drumming. So we invited Guy Manuel Omencristo and Tomas Bangalter to play guest DJ, to share the music by those they love, and to talk about the music they make themselves. NPR Music's Sammy Yenigan and I were going to interview them together, but my torn calf muscle, courtesy of my ice cream sandwich adventure, had me spending the morning with crutches and a doctor. So Sammy went solo, conducting the conversation from Washington, D.C., while Daft Punk was in New York City, and they talked about the influences that came together to make Random Access Memories.
The idea behind this record was to focus on the eclecticism and the variety of the music that we like, and actually not think in any kind of formatted way about music and musical genres. And that's why we really like this kind of chaotic, initially chaotic juxtapositions of all the different collaborators that worked on the record and the different styles and the different eras that the music was pointing towards. So we really like the idea of breaking all the barriers between these musical genres and working in it's a little bit like a hard drive when things are fragmented and next to something completely different.
Tomas, this is you speaking, right? I just want to make sure that we have the...
Yes, this is me.
And so a lot of these collaborators, it seems, are like from a golden age of the 70s and disco when this was big. Is that something that you were pulling from when you were putting, you know, thought into this record?
Not really. It's true that we really very instinctively and spontaneously reached out to musicians that have touched us which we really love their music, you know, and whether it's Nile Rodgers or Giorgio Moroder or Paul Williams, they're really iconic artists and iconic producers and songwriters, and it was a blast to have the ability to interact with them and to really have this opportunity to create something new, you know, and to Nile Rodgers and Giorgio Moroder in their capacity are really at the foundation of modern pop music and modern dance music, and we were really excited by the idea of getting with them and doing new music together, but also maybe preserving a certain craftsmanship that we loved from these records from the 70s or early 80s that were special for us, but we really tried to create something more composite and something that didn't really exist, and that's the juxtaposition in the the idea of Random Access Memories is really about the juxtaposition of these different ideas of putting a Panda Bear from Animal Collective and Julian Casablancas from The Strokes next to Paul Williams or to Nile Rodgers.
I'm curious. I want to hear. Are there any examples that you can think of some of these records that you're talking about from that era that we can take a listen to?
One of these records, that we wouldn't stop listening to, Good Times from Chic, is definitely one of these records that we wouldn't stop listening to when we were 10 or 11 years old. And it's really what dance music and what disco music is about, which is having a good time.
Great, let's take a listen. Mm-hmm. So you said you were pretty young when you first heard this song. I'm curious now, hearing it all these years later, does it sort of conjure up the same feelings that you felt when you first heard it?
It's timeless music and universal timeless music that I think we get the same feeling as when we were kids, for sure. It's and it's always, I think it's the same for everybody. You if you drop that song in any club, any wedding, any birthday party, people are gonna feel the dance floor right away. It's instant effect.
And this is something that you wanted to bring to your record.
It's something that we try to do in our music, which is, we're making the music that we would like to listen. So making music for us is a very personal process. You know, we're not really making music for the audience or thinking what people will expect. Thinking about people's expectations. So it's really the music on this record was really the music we wanted to make, because that's the music we wanted to listen to. It's true that we like the idea of trying to create a music that can fit in some kind of timeless place or timeless zone, where we can keep our focus on an instant effect, sometime on an effect that will last. And that's why our creative process is, we're taking a lot of time doing that, and sometimes years working on records, because we like the idea of making a song or making a track and letting it rest to see if indeed it has that lasting power.
So you feel that you need to take a step back after you've taken the first steps towards a song to...
Yes, that's something we usually like. I mean, sometimes we feel this thing instantly, but sometimes we like to let it rest a little bit, like wine. A track like One More Time, for example, on our second album, Discovery, we recorded it in 1998, and then while we were making the rest of the record, it sat on a shelf for almost 2.5-3 years. And by the time the single was out in late 2000, it became, you know, the sound of 2000 or 2001, but it had been made 3 years before, and some people are still listening to it today. But we felt like at least internally we had tested the song and somehow tried its longevity internally before releasing it.
So that's One More Time off of your record Discovery, which came out in 2001. This is a very dancey track. I mean, that 4-4 beat underneath. I noticed not everything on the new record has that 4-4 kick necessarily. I was curious, did you feel that you wanted to make a record that was sort of, that included things that didn't need to be played into a club? Are there any examples of songs that you can think of that perhaps are better suited for bedroom listening or, you know, places outside of a dance floor?
I mean, we, on our albums, there's always been a fraction of the record that's maybe more oriented towards the the dance floor, and One More Time is a song like that, but and then other pieces of music that are not necessarily for on the floor records, you know, if a track like Something About Us on Discovery can be maybe similar in tone than new tracks on the record like Game of Love or Within or Beyond, and at the same time Lose Yourself to Dance or Get Lucky might have somehow a certain similarities with the spirit of One More Time or Around the World. You know, we usually say that Around the World was really a song inspired by disco and by chic, and that there definitely are similarities between Around the World and Get Lucky, for example. The main thing is that we really replaced the drum machines by live drumming. But apart from that, the music comes from the same place. We're making the music as we consider music can be like the soundtracks of our lives. We don't really associate it with a certain environment, whether the music can be listened to, you know, in a bedroom or on a dance floor. But this album, Random Access Memories, really felt for us more like a musical journey where we were trying to break the different barriers and the different genres and not think really stylistically about four on the floor or not. You know, the process is more spontaneous than that. You know, it's maybe focusing more on the emotion in the way that you know, if you take a song like a Retrograde from James Blake that we really like, when we listen to the song, we don't think about whether it's something we're listening in a bedroom or in a living room or on a dance floor, rather than just feeling touched by the power of the music, whether we're listening on headphones walking down the street or at nighttime with friends.
Let's take a listen to Retrograde from James Blake's new album. That's Retrograde from James Blake's new album. You said that this is a song that sort of conjures up a great deal of emotion in you. I'm curious, what is it about James Blake's music that stirs these feelings inside?
It's pretty much inexplicable, probably. It's because it's the magic of the music. But I think James Blake is an example of a new songwriter, a new artist, a new producer that manages to express beautiful things with his voice and with modern technology, you know, and with synthesizers and drum machines and electronic instruments, and that's for us the perfect example of how we love to interact with electronic music instruments. You know, our record does not have a lot of electronic music instruments. There's a few tracks that have more of it, you know, but it's true that we're living in a time where we're not feeling really touched by a lot of the electronic music that doesn't feel to carry that kind of emotions that we're looking for as an audience. But it's always good to listen to a song that is really made with electronic music instruments and electronic instruments and feel something deep inside. So that's where we really like him, you know.
I'd like to hear an example off of your record that uses electronic technology and still sort of maybe not an instrumentation, but
the most electronic track on our album, Random Access Memories, is this song called "Doing It Right" that we co-wrote and that is co-performed with Panda Bear from the band Animal Collective.
Great, let's take a listen.
Doing it right, everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling alright. Everybody will be dancing tonight, doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right.
If you lose your way tonight, that's how you know the magic's right.
Doing it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right.
So that's Doing It Right featuring Panda Bear, one of the many guests that you guys had on this album. How'd you go about picking the people that you wanted to feature on this record?
I think we didn't really pick anybody, rather than randomly sometimes bump into people that we like Pharrell Williams, that we bumped into an hotel room like maybe 3-4 years ago. And bumped into again in a party about 2 years ago, and then spoke a little bit and decided to work together on some songs. Panda Bear, for example, he put out an album 2 years ago called Tomboy, and he reached out to us to do a remix of one of his songs, and we decided to go back to him and propose him to be a guest performer on our new album. Paul Williams, we met through Chris Caswell, who's been playing keyboard on Random Access Memories and who's been an arranger and who's like the best friend of Paul Williams. So all of the guest performers have, rather than us actively going to them, it's been more like life that's put everybody in the same room or in the same hotel lobby or you know, randomly meeting these people. And what's fun is that all these guests are people that we love so much, you know.
So the human connection.
Yeah, it's really life, human connections, really simple, you know. It's we've always been really shy and making music in a small bedroom on our own. And in the more recent years, we've been maybe more open to the outside and working with different collaborators. When we did our movie Electroma, it was the first time that we were in touch with like a big team, a big group of people. And since then, working on Tron for Disney 2, working with an orchestra on Tron, and the teamwork has been more and more something that interested us, especially on Random Access Memories. The team was so big and such in a good vibe, a lot of enthusiasm making the record, a lot of love that we all shared. It's one of the best things that happened to us recently, is sharing our work and allowing people to come into our bubble, or maybe us getting in a bigger bubble with all of them. And Random Access Memories is like the result of all that teamwork. And it's one of the things I think we are the most proud of, you know. But it's all been random, and the result is incredible to us. We're really thankful, and I think we're really blessed.
You mentioned Paul Williams as one of the guests that you had on the record. I'm curious, can we hear some of his music?
Yes, I mean, probably one of our favorite song or moment from Paul's career that we really admire from beginning to end is this song called The Hell of It, which are the ending titles of the movie that we love so much, A Phantom of the Paradise, directed by Brian De Palma. It's a 1974 film that really had a very major place in our teenage years and our discovery of films and music and what we wanted to do as musicians and as artists.
Roll on thunder, shine on lightning, the days are long and the nights are frightening. Nothing matters anyway, and that's the hell of it. Winter comes and the winds blow colder. Well, some go wiser, you just grew older. Well, you never listened anyway, and that's the hell of it. Good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody likes you and you're better off dead. Goodbye, goodbye. We've all come to say goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Born defeated, died in vain. Super destructive, you were hooked on pain. And though your music lingers on, all of us are glad you're gone. If I could live my life half as worthlessly as you, I'm convinced that I'll wind up burning too. Love yourself as you love no other. Be no man's fool and be no man's brother. We're all born to die alone, you know that's the hell of it. Life's a game where they're bound to beat you, and time's a trick they can turn to cheat you. And we only waste it anyway, and that's the hell of it. Good for nothing, bad in bed. Nobody likes you and you're better off dead. Goodbye, goodbye. We've all come to say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Born defeated, died in vain. Super destructive, you were hooked on pain. Though your music lingers on, well, all of us are glad you're gone.
So that's Paul Williams, The Hell of It. You mentioned that this was a song that was hugely influential in your teenage years. I'm looking at the list of songs that you brought in, and I'm seeing that one of the picks was The Strokes' Hard to Explain, which for me as a teenager was a big, big record, one that I listened to all the time. I'm curious, why'd you pick this song?
I picked it because obviously Julian Casablancas is on our record, and he's been one of our favorite composers in a rock you know, in the rock category. And that song in particular has, to me, is full of magic. And Julian and the Strokes, to me, I've always been meeting Thomas when we were 12 and 13. We were big fans of the Velvet Underground. And all the New York punk scene from the 70s has been really influential on what we do, even if sometimes you wouldn't notice. But we've always been big fans of punk rock and New York punk rock. And I think the Strokes and Julian Casablancas are really in the legacy of all these great bands. And the Strokes, to me, are as good as the Velvet Underground. So we've been really, really lucky to work with him. And that song, to me, encapsulates maybe the magic of the Strokes. So great. That's why, yeah.
Let's take a listen to the Strokes, Hard to Explain. Hard to Explain from the Strokes off their record Is This It. God, I love that song. So that sort of, that's a more rocky influence, like you said, and you're known as electronic music producers, and I know that that's sort of a limiting term because you've done things in a lot of different genres. What was an influence in the electronic side of what you do? Are there any names that sort of stick out in particular in your minds?
I think there's a lot of them in the 70s when it started, but Kraftwerk obviously has been really influential. Maybe more close to us in France, Jean-Michel Jarre has been Oxygen, this Oxygen album.
And where were you when you first heard the Oxygen album?
Oh, I think we're probably so small, we were babies, maybe that's why it's been there with us since we were born.
I mean, the funny thing with Oxygen is that the recording engineer and the mixing engineer, Jean-Pierre Janiot, that mixed it in the studio where we recorded Pharrell's vocals and Panda Bear's vocals for this album, was an audio consultant on our album too, you know. So it's one of these connections, again, where we we could invite on board around this record people that really contributed to those songs that we love, you know, in the same way that we recorded at Hanson Recording in a studio in LA, which is which used to be A&M Records, where Paul Williams recorded all these songs, and where the Carpenters recorded their songs too. So it was interesting to also see this connection between the people and the places that were taking us back to this music we love.
And for those at home who are less familiar with Jean-Michel Jarre, can you tell me a little bit of background, and then maybe we can listen to his music?
Jean-Michel Jarre is the son of the French composer, famous French composer Maurice Jarre. Wrote Lawrence of Arabia score, for example, soundtrack, you know. And he's been making electronic music since the early 70s, mid 70s.
I think it was the French composer in Germany. You would have Tangerine Dream and Kahn or Neu and or Kraftwerk. It was part of the early electronic scene from the 70s, ambient scene.
And what have you brought for us today?
It's Oxygen Part 2, I think, which is really... It's not the most famous, because Oxygen albums are like part 1, part 2, and 3, and 4, etc. And this part 2 is maybe less known, but I really like the classical side of it, and it's really actual. I mean, it could have been done today in a way.
Great. Producer Robin is having an "Oh my God, I remember this moment" right now, sitting in the studio with me. You said you heard this song when you were really young. I'm curious, and you know, we're running out of time, and I just wanted to ask you if there was anything on the new record that, you know, any young kids listening to this show right now that you'd want to sort of have this effect that it had on you, that this song had on you. What do you think you'd pick? What do you think you'd play to go out on?
I think Motherboard, listening to that song again right now, I think there's a lot of similarities with Motherboard, or Motherboard has a lot of similarities with that song, mainly because we used a modular synthesizer on Random Access Memories, which is like a big wall of cables. It's like a It's like an old synthesizer that people use in the 70s and 60s, even earlier. That typical sound is what you just heard and what you can hear throughout our album. And Motherboard, which is the only instrumental of our album, is full of this big modular synth.
Iman and Thomas, I want to thank you so much for coming in. Daft Punk have been a huge influence on my musical taste, and it's been a really nice talking to you today.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you.
NPR Music Sammy Yenigan talking with Daft Punk about their new album, Random Access Memories. To hear more in our guest DJ series, including conversation with Brian Eno, Tom York, Dan Deacon, and more, go to npr.org/music. I'm Bob Boylan for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.